Everybody, time for church. Come on in. It's good to see you tonight. Come on in and find a seat. All the young people back in the back, come on in, grab a seat. It's good to have you tonight. If you're watching on live stream, wherever we're watching from, Facebook, YouTube, it's good to have you tonight. So let me kick you off with a couple of announcements. First of all, it's Amanda Fremder's birthday. So happy birthday, Amanda. Guess how old you are, but somewhere in the mid-40s, right? I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm kidding. Anyway, it's good to have you tonight. A couple quick announcements. Don't forget, right after worship tonight, we do have Kids Church and Youth Hangout. Youth Hangout's for 5th to 12th grade, and they will be going with Chamberlain, all right? And then Kids Church will be following Tori and Eric, okay? So if you got kids, right when we're done, they'll help you get checked in if you're new with us tonight. Also, don't forget, this Sunday is Mother's Day. So what we're doing here at the church, starting at 9 a.m. all the way up until church starts, we have what we call Muffins with Moms. So we're going to have some muffins. So moms, bring your kids bring your moms. And we'll spend some time just fellowshipping before church Sunday. So that's open anytime up until church starts at 10 a.m. So come on out early for that. Next steps, our next time of having next steps, and next steps is simply if you've been attending church here and you're saying, you know what, I think this is my church home and I want to know more about the church, how to get more involved and all that kind of stuff. That's next steps, and our next edition of next steps is the first Wednesday night in June, and we'll have a sign-up sheet out for that in the next couple weeks. And last but not least, as we participate every year with the Sycamore House, the baby bottles, Patsy, where are you at? Patsy? We have these back there somewhere. Okay, if you're interested in participating in the fundraiser for the Sycamore House, these baby bottles are back at the back. Take one, and they're asking you just fill them with change or big bills. One of the two, whatever you want to do, turn them back in here, and these will be due no later than Father's Day. So they start Mother's Day and ends on Father's Day. So pick one of these up, fill with change, bring it back, and we'll support the Sycamore House in what they are doing here in town. So, having said that, how about we stand up on our feet? Let's worship Jesus together tonight.
I see what you can do. Chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival. Let's go.
All right. I need a connect card. Give me a connect. Thank you. All right. Well, it's good to have you. Good day to be in church today. Good day to be in church. Get the kids checked in, allowed them for a couple moments to get them checked in, and youth down to youth hangout. Well, it's good to have you. I've been praying, something's been on my heart. I've been praying that each of you has rest in your soul. How many of y'all could use some rest in your soul? You know what I'm talking about? Just that restlessness or just feeling like you're not quite there, you know what I mean? Feel like you're just grinding. Feel like you can't get your breath inwardly, you know what I'm talking about? It's been on my heart, so I've been praying that you find that. But let me just tell you something. We talked about last Wednesday, and we're going to keep a little bit on that tonight. That's where you're going to find it. And I think we live in society that we want everything easy. We want to say a prayer and things to be snapped to. We want somebody to pray for us, and if they lay their hands on us or do something, then everything will snap to. Or we want to find a Bible verse, and if we just roll that around in our head for a couple minutes, and everything just snaps to. Ain't nothing wrong with those things. But to find continual rest in your soul, because life continues to be life. If you're not finding the lonely place with God, you're going to have trouble finding it. Remember at Gethsemane? Jesus knew he was going to be arrested. And you're talking about the fullness of his humanity wrestling and struggling with the moment, right? Notice he takes the disciples with him. And then what does he do? He takes some of them beyond. Then what's he do? He leaves them there and goes by himself. He didn't say, all right, everybody, I need a big prayer circle around me, and all y'all lay your hands on me. And I know when you lay your hands on me, I'm going to get past this moment. All right, nothing wrong with people praying for you, right? There ain't nothing wrong with, as the Bible says, that the elders of the church pray for you. Nothing wrong with those things. But those things, listen to me, everybody look at my face. Those things will never replace you getting with God yourself in the lonely place. Because in the greatest trial of Jesus' life before his crucifixion at Gethsemane, he didn't have the disciples pray for him. He said, pray with me. And he went and met God himself. And I think we want the easy answers sometimes. You've got to be with him, right? And you've got to make sure you're being with him. Because it's only with him that you're going to find the things that you desire in your soul, in your heart, the things that you know that you need. And it's that consistency. Here's the thing. Again, and everybody hear what I'm saying. There is not a single person in this room, that includes me, that can be that for you in between you and God. See, I hope you like me as a pastor and you like to be taught and all this stuff. But listen, I am not your dependency. God is. You see what I'm saying? Your best friend is not your dependency. God is. So it comes with two things. A, don't look to people. People can support you, bear your burdens, pray for you, wonderful, but yet you must be with God. And secondly, if you're here and you think you have to be that intermediate, stop. Stop trying to inject yourself into a place that you're not supposed to be in somebody's life. You see what I'm getting at? I think some people need it as much as anything. That's not a good attitude to have. I don't know why I'm talking about this. It's just on my heart. You and God. All the other stuff is wonderful, but you and God. That you've got to learn to find those lonely places with him. Amen? Now, I was just waiting for y'all to get back before offerings. Let's take up offering. If you have an offering envelope in front of you, fill one of those out. If not, wave your hand around and ushers will help you out. Let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I praise you, Jesus, and I worship you, that you are our source of life. And Lord, that includes the increase of what comes into our life through our jobs and through all the avenues of ways that you prosper us, Lord. And I thank you that you are in front of us in provisions. We give tonight. It's an honoring of you in that. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you have something, you can bring it down to the basket. If not, you can open up your Bible to the book of Philippians. I got a little feedback, I think, going on. Book of Philippians. So we talked last week, again, about finding that quiet place, that secret place, that lonely place with God. You know, the reason I am adamant about this, I'm just extremely adamant about this, is because, again, we often look for everything else but just learning to be with him. Again, because we like quick answers. We like other people to do things for us. We listen. It's got to be you and him, okay? That's the biggest thing you can do, no matter what. Everything else is icing on the cake that helps, but Jesus is the cake, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Here's a little a quote I came across. It's attributed to C.S. Lewis. I didn't bet this whether or not he said it. If C.S. Lewis didn't say this, it's still a good quote anyway, so save your emails, all right? It says, how to avoid God. Avoid silence. Some of y'all can't take silence. Got to get to the quiet place with him. Avoid solitude. Avoid any train of thought that takes you off the beaten path, the beaten track. But instead, concentrate on money, on sex, on status, on health, and above all, on your own grievances. Of course, C.S. Lewis lived a while ago, so put this in context in his time period. Keep the radio on, live in a crowd, and use plenty of sedation. And to him, that would have been alcohol and so forth. Got to learn to be alone. Find those places. It could be just moments, but find those places. You learn his presence and you learn him. Amen. So I want to keep on talking about knowing him. Is the greatest desire of my life is to know him. That's my greatest desire. I mean, I desire quite a bit of stuff, but I want to know him first. And I want to know him more. And I would say probably the thing that I've said in so many words in my own prayer time is, Lord, I want to know you. And I pray that, Lord, I want to know you in the simplicity of the gospel, but yet I know, Lord, you are deep and you are wide, and I want to know you there too. And I used to use this example. I know I've used it here. It's been a while. How many of you are old enough? And it's going to be you older folks. You younger people are going to be like, what are you talking about? How many remember the commercials with the Nesty plunge, the ice? How many know what I'm talking about? Somebody would like fall in a swimming pool or something like that. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. Y'all are old like me then. It's the commercial for iced tea, Nesty, and it was like somebody drinking their iced tea, but they fall backwards into a big swimming pool. They take the Nesty plunge, they called it.
Yes.
That's how I want to know God. Sing a song, Come Like a Flood. I want to know him that I'm immersed into who he is. Now, having said that, then you realize then that God is not a power for you to try to harness for your use. Now I'm pausing for effect. God is not a power for you to try to harness for your use. God is not an oxen for you to throw a yoke on to plow your fields. God is not a dog as if you would put him on a leash and drag him around where you want to go in life. God is not some ATM in the sky that you just shove your card in there, punch the buttons, and he's got to give you what you want. God is the one whom you need to learn to know. And all the other things that we see in Scripture are entirely secondary or a result of, Lord, I want to know you. And we start to seek all the other secondary things of Scripture outside of knowing him, then we're after the God who is powerful and will direct our life and will bless us. We're seeking those things in the wrong way. We're in the boat. We're headed somewhere. We're off course a little bit. See, God is so great. We only know what he has chosen to reveal to us. You know that. And he is deep and wide in such a way that he is entirely beyond you. And there is a certain mystery to God. Again, it's like, I want to know everything there is to know about God, and I'm going to know it here in this lifetime. Good luck shoving the ocean in a Coke can. It just you can fill your Coke can, but you ain't get all the ocean in there. So God is not something you try to harness or put on a leash, but it's more fall in the nest, he plunge into him. That's his way. Then all these other things that we see in the Scriptures are so wonderful. They're secondary, but they're there. Then what happens is, look, is God a God of power? Okay. Does God work through us in powerful ways? Yes, but if you don't know him, you'll seek that in the wrong way, or you'll allow those things to affect you in a negative way in your life. Pride. Thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips because I prayed for somebody and something happened. You see, so I'm getting at. Knowing him first puts that in his proper place. So you're not seeking him as a power to harness to use, but now you're saying, Lord, use me in humility. I start to understand my place in this dynamic. That goes for all things. Does God desire to bless you? Yep, but if he does and you're not seeking him first, those blessings get out of place in your life, out of control. And we start seeking blessings instead of him. You see, I'm getting at. So I want to know him. Now, Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read 1 through 16 here, and we're going to key on verse 10. So let's just take a little journey here together. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Underline that, circle it, highlight it, do whatever you need to do. We need to be people who rejoice in the Lord. Now, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. So he's going to address something here that he has apparently taught to the people that are receiving this letter before. He says, look out for the dogs. Uh-oh. Look out for the evildoers. And look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, pause. What's he talking about? Paul is once again addressing most likely what we would call Judaizers. What they were saying is the Gentile converts that were coming into the church, look, if you want to really fully get this, you got to get circumcised. That's what the law says. And Paul's saying, no. Let's quit listening. He uses the mutilators of the flesh. In other words, you don't got to get circumcised to have faith in Jesus. Okay, that's what he's getting at here. And apparently he's talked about this before. It's coming up again. And by the way, this is sort of the kind of the big picture happening in the early church was you have Jews that are following Jesus being saved, and you have Gentiles coming into the church, and now they got to coexist with each other. And you have Jews, even though they're in Jesus, that are still following the law, and Gentiles that have no idea what that is. And Paul is constantly dealing with how we're going to get along. But he's had it up to his neck with those that keep saying to the Gentiles that are coming in, you got to follow aspects of the law. And he's saying, he calls them dogs and evildoers and mutilators of the flesh. So he's getting frustrated, all right? Now, verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also.
If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. So what Paul is saying right here, look, if anybody understands this business of following the law, I've done it good. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, all right? He lived according to the law to the utmost. And watch what he said about himself then. Circumcised on the eighth day, that's the law, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, I lived this to the full. And as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. In other words, he kept the law in a blameless way. But whatever gain I had, in other words, what he felt he gained in all of those things, that this righteousness that he felt he stood in, I count it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's saying, now that I've met Jesus, all that past is actually a loss. What I thought it was doing for me, it's not doing it. As a matter of fact, he had confidence in that way of living. But now he sees that as a loss in the light of Jesus. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Again, that's that whole nesty plunge thing, in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. You're not going to find it there. But that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Not on works, but on faith. Now watch. Now I'm going to come back to verse 10 there. So when Paul in verse 3, you don't have to go back there, Jonathan. When he says, for we are of the circumcision, what he's saying is, in Jesus and faith in Jesus, you have been circumcised with the circumcision of your heart. No longer have to go through those other rituals. It's circumcision of the heart. Okay? But Paul is saying, all those things I lived, and I lived to the utmost in the light of Jesus, it's actually worthless to the extent of what Paul thought it was. Not worthless, because the law is not worthless, or God wouldn't have given it. But what he's saying, in the light of Jesus and faith in Jesus, that did not accomplish what I thought it was, because I can't find righteousness in the law. All I am is reminded of my sin, right? But watch what Paul says, and this is where we're getting, verse 10. That I may know him. Again, I want to know him. And whenever Paul talks about writing in these letters about knowing God or knowing Jesus, it never intended to be held to some sort of head knowledge. Whenever Paul writes, I want to know him, he's talking about an experienced knowledge, an experience with God that in a certain way, in all ways, changes his life. But watch how Paul writes that he wants to know him. That I may know him, still in verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. And may share, that word share there, that could be in communion with, that could be in fellowship with. The Greek word there is koinonia. That I may be, listen, in fellowship with his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead, which is coming. That's the return of Jesus, the resurrection of our physical bodies. But Paul wants to know Jesus in two ways, as he's writing here. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, and I want to know him in a way that I'm sharing in his sufferings. I think we like A, not so much B. Listen, if you said to me today, you want to share in the power of God today, I say, amen. You want to share in the sufferings? I don't know about that. I'm just going to go back to bed. How about that? I want to know him not only in his power, but in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, what is Paul actually saying there? that's important to talk about, I guess. He's talking about knowing Jesus in such a way that the power of the resurrection, in other words, new life, is coming forth to me. And the sharing and the fellowship of his sufferings, the old life is receding. I want to know him in such a way that resurrection is happening in me. But resurrection only happens when there is death. That this new life I'm being called to is coming forth, and the old life that I've been saved from is diminishing. Do you realize that when you begin to really know Jesus, you'll find that's the end result for your life? I saw this today. I don't know where I saw it. It's not a direct quote, but it's something like this. We do a lot of repenting, but we don't do a lot of surrendering. We like to say, hey, new life, but what about this old thing you're supposed to be leaving behind? That I know him, and here, listen, this is how the power of God shows up in your life. Newness coming forth, old things passing. That's how I want to know him. I want to know him for him, but I know that knowing him is going to be a challenge in surrender. Because the more you get to know him, if you want to kind of talk about this, the more you get close to him, you're going to start seeing more in his light the things you got to leave behind. Right? I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, new life, and fellowship, sharing in his suffering, the old me dying, suffering. Even if I have to deny myself and train myself and govern myself, pick up my cross and deny myself. If I have to do that, that's what I need to do, right? That's how Paul wants to know him. And of course, then, this is the life that we lead, leading towards the attaining of the resurrection of the dead. Amen. All things made new. And that resurrection and suffering with him is fully realized in life. And so much so, this is what Paul says, verse 12. Not that I have already attained this, okay, or already perfect. You see that? He realized this process of new life and old man completely gone. He hasn't completely attained perfection in this yet. Any of you got there? No, we're righteous in him, but any of you perfect in this new? No, if so, what I'll do is I'll build a little platform up here. We'll put a spot every Sunday. You can just stand up here. We'll shine a light on you in all your perfected glory. Nobody's there yet. Paul knows this. We're still working this out. But what does he do? I press on to make it my own. And I can because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see that? When Paul's talking about pressing on, what he's talking about, I'm pressing on with the realization of new life coming forth and old man going away. That's what he's pressing on for. That's the goal. Brothers, verse 13, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain towards what lies ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what is that prize? We're headed heavenward, but the prize that we're racing with here is new life coming, old life passing. See that? It boils down to simplistic understanding of the Christian faith. Paul just talks about things to grab hold of people's attention. Verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. But if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. But wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. See that? So everybody in here has been serving Jesus for a different length of time. Right? How many of you have been serving Jesus for more than 20 years? Amen. How many of you, 10 years? How many of you, like 5 years? Everybody's at different spots. But wherever you are in your life with him, hold true to where you're at today. And don't regress. Right? And wherever you're at today, don't regress, but now keep pressing on. Keep going and keep growing and keep chasing this, knowing him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his death. Keep going. That's basically the call of discipleship. That is basically the call of living on the narrow road. That's basically the call of being made into his image. That's basically the call of living godliness. That's basically the call of living holiness. That's basically the call of taking on the Christ-like nature. And you can talk about it 100 different ways. Keep pressing on. And don't stop. And if you are mature in your thinking, you'll think that way. See that? You'll think that way. But if you don't, Paul says, well, you'll get that revealed to you also. It'll come. That light bulb will click in your head someday. This is what it's all about. Keep going. Keep growing. Listen, keep contending with yourself. Participate in the process of death in your life. Right in here. That's the calling that Paul's getting at right here. And it's all about knowing him. I want to know him. And the more I have discovered, maybe you've discovered a different thing, but I have discovered that the more that I do know him, the more I'm very much okay with new life and old life going away. Matter of fact, the more I desire new life coming forth and old life going away. But when I get with him in the secret place, in the lonely places, and I spend time with him, I'm telling you what, it reorients the desires of my life. Because I'm getting in his presence, learning him. In certain ways, not always with feeling, not always with hearing things, but actually then hearing from him and allowing him in these moments get it, fall into the swimming pool. I'm not walking in those times saying, all right, God, this is what we're going to do. I mean, you're basically saying, this is what I want to do, and you got to do what I want you to do. You fall into the swimming pool and then let him immerse you. Then when you come out again, things will be in the right place. Now he's going to say, okay, now this is what I want you to do. Okay. Totally changes around. But to know him. And the more I know him, I see the glory, the glimpses of glory, certain moments that cause me the courage. And in those moments, I'm telling you what, there are days I just don't feel it. And maybe some of you feel it every day. I don't. But I get in the secret place. Oh, man. And then I get to get up and go in the secret place. Then I get encouraged. Then I get replenished, right? I get refilled, if you want. And I come out of those times. By the way, if I ever felt like not all things are possible, I just go to the secret place. Even if it's just for a couple of months. Because now I come out of that secret place, man, I'm like David coming out with Goliath on the other side of the field. Who in the world are you? You know what I'm talking about? But that comes from, I just want to know you. If I ever feel in my life where there's a certain aspect of the old me that just wants to keep hanging on and keep fighting and keep having its way, I go to the secret place. In the secret place, I'm reminded all things are possible. So let's go. You see what I'm getting at? That comes from knowing him. Then all these other things start to fall into place. Some of you all live in constant discouragement. You're never finding the secret place. Some of you live in such constant worry. Listen, get to the secret place. But find your moments. Get with him. Some of you are lost. Okay, great. God, I want to know you. And the more you know him, then he'll put the stuff in place. What am I supposed to do with my life? It's just start with knowing him. Start with knowing him. And this whole thing about the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings will come to light too. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff that you desire is a part of this growth that you're having, right? And things are revealed as growth is happening, right? So let's be a people that want, desire to know him. Okay, I'm going to go back. How many of y'all are married? Okay, let's go pre your marriage. Has there ever been, before you were married, because you can't say this about your spouse unless you have a story of one chasing the other until you finally gave in, but have you ever had somebody desire to go out and date with you and you're like, there's just no way? You know what I'm talking about? They're just like, I think you're the greatest, and you're like, you're wonderful, but no. You know what I'm talking about? God desires you. You know that. But you have to learn to stir up your desire back. God wants to be with you. That's not the question. That's not the issue here. How much do you desire him? God does not make you desire him. He desires you. He doesn't mess with your free will. He doesn't override it. He doesn't make you desire. You must want to go to the secret place. You must want to spend time with him. There have been times in my life when I know I need to go to a secret place, and I'm just like, I don't want to because I know what's going to happen when I go there. I would rather be here in my own self-pity party for a little bit. Not going there and God saying, okay, I'm going to encourage you. I don't want to be encouraged. I like feeling the way I feel. You got to want to go there. You've got to say in your heart, I want to know you, and what that means is to know you relationally, to spend time with you. And make it happen. Can I show you real quick what the secret place looks like for me a lot? Maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about. And all the difference is none of y'all are here. I'm not blasting music in the background or in my head. I want to hear him. Notice what's not with me, my phone. No light show happening. Laser lights. I'm not trying to feel anything. I'm not looking for goosebumps. And I said, Lord, I want to know you. Will you meet me here today? I just have a few moments. I have a meeting. But can you I just want to be with you for a few moments. I may recite a verse from the scripture, Lord, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I'm not going to do this, but I may sing a song. Right? Sometimes I'm here, Lord, because I'm struggling. Can I tell you about it? You know. Lord, I'm dealing with this. I need help. Sometimes it's nothing at all. I just sit there. In my secret place, I've complained. Lord, this is not fair. I don't understand this. And eventually he gets like Job. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the world? Okay, I get it. I understand. I get it. Every now and then, at some point, I give a little shout. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But God doesn't respond because I get loud. He ain't like me. He don't have a hearing problem. I can just talk to him. Sometimes that those secret moments is just a moment. Sometimes I've sat there for an hour. Sometimes I felt his presence. Sometimes I have not. Sometimes I've felt that he responded and spoke something. I just got a word. Sometimes it feels like he's as silent as I am. I can't make him do anything. He's not on a leash that I can yank him down here. You have to tell me this now. You have to do this now. There ain't none of that happening. Maybe he's teaching me patience. Maybe he's trying to get me to be quiet so he can rest my soul. Maybe he's just trying in that moment to give me the peace I've been praying for, but I haven't found. Maybe if I'll just listen, that thing I've been praying for years, finally, I'm at a place in maturity in my life when he can give me the fullness of the answer. But he hadn't been before because I'd have wrecked it if he gave it to me 2 years ago. Sometimes the secret place isn't sitting there. Sometimes I walk. But again, none of you are here. Sometimes I walk outside. Sometimes at the other church, the big building, I walk in the dark. I just walk around the church. I'm not worried about somebody stabbing me back there. It's okay. Building secure. I walk through the building prayerfully. But I desire to simply be with him so I can know him. And there's no cookie cutter way that it has to happen every single time. That's man's ideas. I think, as a matter of fact, when you try to put constructs on him that way, he will not respond that way to teach you. You can't tame me. You can't make him do what you want. He's God, my goodness. And his mystery is greater than you. Can we people be people that start to find the secret place with him? He taught you to pray. He said, shut the door. And what God sees, what you do in secret, rewards you. We pray every Monday night church-wide prayer. That's not a replacement for your secret place. We come together and we worship together. Unity of worship. Amen. That's not a replacement for your personal worship life. We jump into the scriptures just like we did tonight. That is not a replacement for you and your Bible. You see what I'm getting at? Again, it's what I was saying at the beginning. There is no mediator between you and God. It's you and God. So why don't you just get to know him? And here's the thing that I love about it. The mystery of God beyond my understanding is what keeps bringing me back. Because I am in a sense of awe and wonder of this creator that would come be with me personally when I'm all alone. See, some of y'all think, well, God showed up in church, but the reason they was there because of everybody else, but he wasn't there for me. Lies. Well, God inhabited the praises of his people, but it was because everybody else had praised him, not because of me. Lies. You see, I'm getting at that you don't count yourself worthy of the presence of God. Look, he called you by name. He desires to be with you. Why would the incredible, wonderful creator God that all power resides in him, why would he want to meet with me? That's a mystery to me sometimes because I know me. But yet he does. I don't know about you, but I don't know why I wouldn't want to be with him. I don't know why I wouldn't wake up in the morning and say, well, good morning, Lord. Help me today, please. I don't know why I wouldn't do that. I don't know why I wouldn't. One of the last things to do before you go to sleep, thank you, Lord, that I'm here and I had a good day. In my mind, it wasn't a good day, but yet I'm here. And I know you're with me. And that peace that passes all understanding is going to guard my heart and my mind as I sleep. Because you're here. Some of y'all don't think you're worthy. Stop. You're not worthy because you're great. You're worthy because he made you. And he loves you. And he purposed you. And in those things, yes, you are great in him. Learn to receive what he wants. I think some of you don't go to your secret place because you don't think you're worthy. The best thing you can do when you got baggage is take it to him. Yes. The best thing you can do. Don't try to hide it. He knows. You're walking around with all this baggage. You don't think he can't see that? You're dragging it around. Causing you to have to fall down half the time. He knows. Quit hiding. Right? So some of you don't go because you know he's going to ask something of you. You just kind of avoid the situation. Just stop. Just get with him. And the realization of a verse like Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Those kind of scriptures come to life when you learn the secret place. When the great Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, what does he do? He takes me where? And beside what? Quiet waters, still waters. What is that? Secret place. You get in your secret place, that kind of scripture comes to life. You find yourself green pastures, the quietness of the still waters. And then what happens when you're there? What does it say next? And he does what? He restores my what? My soul. Some of you need that restful place in your soul and you can't find it. Start finding the secret place. And he'll restore your soul. See, I'm getting at. Desire to know him. We're going to know him together, but you got to do it on your own. I used to tell the youth, I say, look, the last thing you want in your life is to me to micromanage your spirituality. You don't want your youth pastor showing up at your house at 6 in the morning, dragging you out of bed and say, I just wanted to make sure you're spending time with Jesus before you go to school. Every day. Saturday morning, here I come. You don't want me giving you a quiz every day, so tell me the verses in the Bible that you read. You have to tell me. You don't want me micromanaging you like that. What good is that? I'm the mediator. No. You've got desire to do it. And get after him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just went way over for Wednesday. I'm sorry, but we'll close up right there. So I wanted this to roll into next Wednesday, Book of Romans, chapter 12. I want to talk to you about what it means to give yourself as a living sacrifice. That Paul writes there, this is your acceptable or spiritual act of worship. I want to talk to you about worship next week, connected to knowing him. Okay? So let's close up there. I hope you encourage your little challenge tonight, but let's do these things. Amen? Lord, I thank you that you want to know us. Even in these moments, Lord, that we just take some focused attention and purposely just invite you to be with us. And we know you're with us always, but these focused moments, Lord, that our attention is to your presence and your spirit. And I pray that we all are finding rest for our souls. Because simply we're in relationship with you. Lord, and I thank you for that. I praise you for that. I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Well, it's good to have you tonight. Be blessed as you go. If you have any questions or need prayer, come on up. We'll take care of that. But have a wonderful, wonderful night.